Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. This is God's Word. In those days, there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. He called the disciples and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked them. "Seven," they said. He commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. Taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. So they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish. And after he had blessed them, he said these were to be served as well. They ate and were satisfied. Then they collected 7 large baskets of leftover pieces. About 4,000 were there. He dismissed them, and he immediately got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, demanding of him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation demand a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and went to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to take bread and only had 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he gave them strict orders. "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They were discussing among themselves that they did not have any bread. Aware of this, he said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Do you have hardened hearts? Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of leftovers did you collect?" 12, they told him. "When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you collect?" 7, they said. And he said to them, "Don't you understand yet?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I grew up somehow getting the impression that if I do things that are wrong, bad things will happen to me. And if I'm careful to do what is right, then good things will happen to me. Basically, as long as I behave, God has my back. That was the mindset. Now, nobody told me that. That was just what I gathered, okay? If you do bad things happen. In some religions, they call that karma, okay? If you do good things happen. There's some truth to that. The Bible says, "Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." But along the way, you begin to see some other things happening, like people who do bad things and seem to get away with it. And that's troubling, unless it's you, of course, in which case it's a huge relief. I did that and lightning didn't strike. The ceiling didn't collapse on me. I didn't get found out. Wow. Maybe you can do a certain amount of bad stuff and get away with it. But if I want God to be on my side, then I've got to be careful to do things the right way. I was hardwired from birth to be OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder. Okay, it's a problem, folks. Now, it has benefits. You want a little bit OCD in your accountant, okay? You want a surgeon who's very detail-oriented and very careful. You want researchers who are careful. But I was kind of wired that way. And so it wasn't just my upbringing. It was genetics, okay? Or maybe trauma in the womb, I don't know. In any case, it runs in my family. Our oldest son, Paul, is the most like me in this regard. When he was just basically still an infant, not a toddler, he was beginning to eat some solid food. And of course, we did what responsible parents do. We gave him Cheerios. And you pour them onto the tray that's attached to the high chair. And then the child goes like this, you know, and scatters them onto the floor. And then you give them some more. And some of them, you know, kind of make it into their mouth. Not Paul. Paul, without any instruction from us, licked his finger, put it on a Cheerio. It stuck. He put it in his mouth. He didn't spill them onto the floor. He got them in his mouth. We didn't have to give him more. He had figured out a way, all on his own, of doing this very neatly. And it works. You ought to try it. It runs in our family to be kind of detail-oriented. We want to be sure things are done right. We like for things to be done right, okay? And unfortunately, I kind of projected that onto God. It's like, because God has given us his commands, I'm figuring he's very detail-oriented. You can't look at creation and not see that God is detail-oriented. He is not obsessed, however, with making sure that the light switch is pointing in the right direction if it's a three-way switch. Okay? That doesn't bug God. It doesn't matter to God whether you squeeze the toothpaste tube from the end up toward the top. That matters to me. I have my own toothpaste. But back when we had a shared tube of toothpaste, it was something I had to fight because I wanted to straighten my wife out on this. My wife feels that if you squeeze the tube and the toothpaste comes out, mission accomplished. Okay? Now, I'm mentioning all of this because Jesus is about to do another miraculous multiplication of food. You heard it, I trust, as I read. There were about 4,000 people there. They'd been with Jesus 3 days. And then he said, guys, we need to feed these folks. Now, this is what's called a comprehensive exam. In other words, you've already had this lesson. You've already had the test. Now we're going back and seeing later in the term, did you learn anything? Did it stick? Did you get the point? And so Jesus says, we need to feed these people. Their response to Jesus is, well, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Where would we possibly get enough food out here to feed these people? You know, now, you're reading this along with me, and you know that if you're with Jesus, that's a dumb question, right? Because Jesus has already demonstrated for them with a larger crowd, also in a remote area, that the amount of food we have is really not that big a deal if Jesus says we're going to feed the people. If Jesus says this is the mission, then you don't need to be saying, oh no, where are we going to get the resources? You simply say, yes, sir, what would you like for me to do? That's our job. Jesus provides. He is well able. And yet, no matter how many times Jesus provides, we tend to be like the disciples saying, oh no, how's this going to work? I don't see where, you know, we're in a remote place. You got all these people. We don't have enough. There's no way. How are we going to get food for them all? As if God's going to say, oh, phooey, I forgot. I'm all out of miracles. Sorry. No miracles available until next week. I guess they'll just have to go hungry. No, Jesus not only sees the need, he has the power to meet that need. And once again, he's giving his disciples an opportunity to trust and obey. Let me tell you something. That's not unkind of him. It's what we need in order to grow and become what God intends us to be. We have to be put in circumstances where we learn our dependence on God.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out. We've said this before, but I want to say it again. Please understand this. Everybody, everywhere is entirely dependent on God all the time for everything. But we tend not to think that way. We tend to take stuff for granted, okay? And therefore, we are not as expressive of gratitude as we ought to be. What did Jesus do with the 7 loaves? Same thing he did with the 5. He gave thanks. He gave thanks for what they had. He didn't complain. He didn't criticize. He didn't say, 7 loaves? Didn't you guys learn anything last time? When we're going around, we've got to have more than that. He didn't say that. He said, give it to me. And he gave thanks. That's what we need to do with whatever we've got. I'm going to say that again. That's what we need to do with whatever we've got. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. Because you may not be excited about what you've got, but you'd miss it if you didn't have it. Someone asked, if all you had tomorrow was what you gave thanks for today, what kind of day would you have? Okay? So give thanks to the Lord. Jesus gave thanks and fed the multitude. And after he fed the multitude, once again, they had leftovers, and the leftovers were more than they had before they fed the multitude. There's more left over. Instead of just 7 loaves, they had 7 baskets of bread after feeding 4,000 people. Now, I believe it is worth noting that there was more left over when they fed more people with less to start with. Please get that, because it's important in understanding God's economy. When they had 5 loaves and 5,000 people, they got 12 baskets full. Now they've got 7 loaves and only 4,000 people. More to start with, smaller problem. And after it's done, they've got 7 baskets full of bread. That's a miracle. But it's not as big a miracle as when they had less food to feed more people. What does that tell you? Well, it should tell you that God isn't depending on what you bring to the table or worried about how big the problem is. God doesn't say, oh no, 5,000 this time? Okay. I was thinking maybe just 4. Okay. No, 5, 4, Doesn't matter to God. He's okay. Well, how much do you have to start with? 5 loaves, 2 fish. And they're small. He says, no problem. We'll have plenty of leftover. Over here, what do you got? Seven loaves. Well, hey, that's more than enough. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus could have done it with 1 loaf? Of course. No problem. He spoke the universe into being. Do you think he could have done it with no loaf? Of course. And we're talking about God. God has all power. The Creator is quite capable of doing what is humanly impossible. And so he's doing things in order to reveal himself. And after he has done this amazing miracle, some of the religious leaders come and they're like, could you give us a sign? You know, if you're really the Messiah, why don't you give us some kind of sign? Jesus said, what are you looking for a sign for? I mean, there had been sign after sign after sign. And they're not seeing any of it. And so they're saying, come on, do something else. Jesus says, no, you're not going to get any signs. Not going to happen. Why? Because they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to see. Somebody standing in front of Jesus saying, show me. Unless I see it, I'm not going to believe it. Jesus says, well, you're not going to see it. No signs for you today. But then he gets in the boat with his disciples. And as they're traveling along, he says, you need to be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. What is he talking about? He's talking about pride and hypocrisy. Yeast puffs up and makes something look like it's more than it is. That's what yeast does. And there are a lot of religious people who are full of hot air. You understand? They're just all swelled up with pride, and they're empty inside. And Jesus said, don't be like them. Herod was an example. The Pharisees were an example. Jesus says, don't be like that. What did the disciples do with that? They said, oh gosh, he's saying that because we forgot to bring bread. Oh, I thought you were bringing the bread. No, I wasn't my day to bring the bread. Okay. Well, we just got 7 baskets full of leftovers. Why didn't anybody bring them? Okay? We could be rowing along with loaves of bread. We could be feeding the fish. We could be catching birds. I mean, for goodness sake, we've only got 1 loaf of bread. Who forgot to bring the bread? And Jesus says, what are you talking about that for? Do you still not understand? And he walks them through the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. And he asks them, how many baskets of leftovers did you take up after we fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? 12. And what about when we fed the 4,000 with the 7 loaves? How many baskets full did you take up? 7. He says, do you still not understand? Are you that hard-hearted that you think I'm not going to take care of you? See, here's the problem. I know that if I'm walking in obedience and I'm with Jesus doing what he tells me to do, if he says, you need to help these people, he will enable me to do it. I got that. But if I get in the boat with him and I forgot to bring bread, oh no, my bad. All of a sudden now I feel like all bets are off. God's going to say, well, it was your job to bring bread. You forgot to bring the bread. This is your fault. You're just going to have to go without. You're just going to have to be hungry. I mean, I had compassion on the multitudes, but don't think I feel kindly toward you. I'm sorry, but that's the evil mindset that I am prone toward, is this idea that if I mess up, God's going to say, well, so much for you. Some of you can relate to this. Because the expectation is that God is merciful on the world, but with me, he demands, you know. Remember the guy who hid his coin in the backyard, wrapped it up in a napkin, buried it in the ground so he wouldn't lose it? Why? Because his view of the master was a hard man. You are so demanding. You're going to be upset with me if I do something wrong, and so I'm just not going to do anything. That's a terrible view of God. And it's the view of many, many, many people in churches that say the Bible's true. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry that you might mess up. You have messed up. So have I. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. It's not something that might happen. Oh boy, I'm trying so hard. I'm not going to step on a crack because I don't want to break anybody's back. But I'm really trying hard because I don't want to make a mistake. You're making a mistake. What? How? By acting that way. How am I acting? You're acting as if you're on a tightrope and God's going to hit you with a stick if you make the wrong step. Following him is not like that. He compares us to sheep, stupid, short-sighted, and in need of a shepherd. Let me tell you, that may not make you feel complimented, but it makes me feel a lot more secure. Because I'm not the guide. I'm the sheep. I need help. And God says, I'm here for you. Thanks be to God. He sent his son to save sinners. I qualify. I don't have to be good enough for God to love me. He loves me. But he not only forgives me, he gives me the power to change. And so Jesus, with these disciples, doesn't say, I know, you're hard-hearted. That's just the way you are. He says, get over it, guys. Are you that hard-hearted that you don't learn anything? Do you still not understand? Jesus is rebuking them in the kindest way possible. He's reviewed for them the last two lessons. And he says, guys, learn from this. You can depend on me. Don't worry about going hungry. But we forgot to bring bread. I can take care of it. They only had one loaf. Got it? Now notice verse 16. It says they didn't have any. Verse 14 has already told us they only had one loaf. How does that work? Well, it works the same way as when they had all these people to feed and they said, we don't have any food. And he says, what do you have? Well, there's a little boy here with this much. Okay. Well, so don't say you don't have anything. Say, all we have is this. But we tend to do the same thing. These guys had one loaf of bread, and they may have had some other people in the entourage beside the 12, but they clearly didn't have thousands in the boat. And so if they have one loaf, I think we're covered. And the reason is not because we want to divide that loaf 12 ways. It's because we got Jesus. I'm just going to tell you something. I hope you know this already. If you got Jesus, you've got enough. But it was my fault. I messed up. I forgot to bring bread. Jesus says, what are you worried about? You think I invited you to be on my team because I thought you were perfect? Do you think that working for me means that you can never make a mistake or you're off the team? Jesus was there in the boat with them. When he's in the boat, you can enjoy the ride. Because I'll tell you something. He came to save sinners. He came to call to himself people whom he would change from the inside out and make us like him, robed in his righteousness, empowered by his Spirit to do what is only possible through the power of God. That is reason to rejoice.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.